Welcome to Divorce Explained, the podcast where we answer your questions and navigate the process of divorce together. Sharing real stories and personal experiences, this is your guide through it all. With your hosts, family law specialist Steve Benmore and divorce lawyer and strategist Leanne Townsend.
So here we sit on January 3, 2024, starting a new year. And as we have in the past, we try to be timely with our topics. And so I couldn't help but be bombarded with articles that people sent to me asking me, why is it that January is the busiest month for divorce? And I thought, what a better topic for us to be able to dispel the myth or to validate those reasons and explain why that is the case. So here we sit at the beginning of January. In fact, fortunately for us, a lot of people think we're still off until when school resumes, which is this coming Monday, which means that our phones haven't exactly been ringing off the hook, although I've certainly gotten my fair share of emails and calls in the last few days. But let's now tackle this question. What is it about January that makes this month such a popular month for people to call people like us?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons to it. And, you know, I think that's, you know, we want to chat about those. And I think, you know, one of, I always have found that one of the big reasons, I think, is that, you know, January is always a time of, you know, people make New Year's resolutions, they think about new beginnings and fresh starts and all of that sort of thing. So if someone's in a marriage or a relationship and they're not happy and they've been thinking about leaving, just sort of the time of year and the thoughts about new beginnings and fresh starts makes them think that, hey, you know what, maybe, you know, I don't want to be sitting here next year having done nothing on this. It's time to speak to a lawyer and do something about my relationship. And so I think that, you know, just that mindset of the time of year is definitely one of the main reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the beginning of a new chapter for a lot of people. It's certainly the beginning of a new period in the eyes of the government. Some people get all of their health care benefits reinstated for a new year. So if you get massage treatment or dental care, you start a whole new budgetary year for the purposes of insurance. You certainly start a whole new year for the purposes of taxes. And so why not there be a new period that one can start fresh, reboot, change pathways, and be able to control their own destiny? It's funny because I couldn't help but think, given that so many people were asking me, you know, the deal with the new year and divorce and so forth. So I thought about those three words, happy new year. Three words, very simple, happy new year. If you move those words around, it's actually quite kind of interesting. Because if you remove the word new, happy year, well, then the question is, how do you get a happy year? So in other words, you take the word happy year, you put a question mark over it, you go happy year. Well, that calls for an answer. How do you make the year happy? And one way is to remove some of the things that are in your life that are causing you sadness. And if what's causing you sadness is the current relationship that you're in, well, one way to deal with that is to start reconsidering how to reconfigure your life, including who is in your life. And so there's the happy year, then there's the happy new. Let's get rid of the word year now. Happy new. Well, how do you make new happy? You make new happy, but following Einstein's rule of insanity, if you do the same thing in 2024 that you did in 2023 and you're expecting a different outcome, well, that's the definition of insanity. So the only way for there to be a happy new is by changing what you've previously done to something new. So for there to be a happy new, you've got to do something different in 2024 than what you did in 2023. And if you do that, you might as well make it a better choice. And so that better choice may mean changing the current situation with respect to your relationship. Now, having said that, we cannot divorce our parents. We cannot divorce our children. In fact, there's very few relationships that are this intimate that one can end. And for many, whether it's a common law relationship, a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, a same-sex relationship, an employment relationship, or a marital relationship, those are the few relationships that are that important, that go right to the core of one's being, that you can actually assess if you wish to make a change. And I tell this to people all the time. I had a call with somebody this morning. They're like, well, yeah, you know what? I've made a decision, but I'm not going to deal with it because it's going to be too much heartache to deal with it. And I said to them, I said, you have to measure, if you literally put it on a scale, which heartache is more, the heartache of ending and starting fresh, or the heartache of keeping what's not working going on for much longer? And these are really tough decisions. It's so easy for us to have this sort of intellectual volleyball match on marriage and relationships and divorce. But for the person that's actually contemplating the nature and the status of their relationship, this is a very weighty subject, and quite frankly, one that we lawyers are not equipped to advise on. We can tell them what to do if they've decided to end the relationship. But oftentimes, I say to those people that are calling me with the question in their mind as to whether they want to do this, to consult with the right people. And in fact, I've even said, now's a really good time for you to create an advisory board. An advisory board made up of, at minimum, the people that love you very much and accept you for who you are and respect who you are and know what the state of your life is and what the state of your life could be. And let's throw into that advisory board a professional or more, which could be a therapist, it could be your family doctor, it could be a coach, a life coach. And this is really important because the decision that you're going to make,
I'm just going to make 2024. I'm going to water and let you keep talking. Absolutely. For a minute, because I have a cough. I've got a tickle go in my throat. So I will be right back. You just keep going with
it. The decision that we make in 2024 will have a huge impact on the same question that we're going to ask ourselves at the end of 2024 and the beginning of 2025 to ascertain whether 2025 will be a worse year or a better year than 2023. And the steps that we take now will create a domino effect that will either lead to a reduction in stress and an increase in happiness. How's that water doing?
It's helping.
Okay.
Thankfully.
Good.
I think I know a lot of people have been kind of sick over the holidays, and I'm just finishing up with, I have a cough that's just kind of on its way out, but giving me a bit of a tickle in my throat. No, and to add to what you're saying, Steve, like, I think that the holidays themselves, I think sometimes can create reasons why people end up calling family law lawyers in January. A lot of people, when you start hitting November, maybe even October, you know, they know, they don't think it's the right time to, start separation with the holidays coming. And so they hold off until after the holidays. Or sometimes, during the holidays is like lots more togetherness, and that can, for families that where everyone is happy and they enjoy each other's company, that's a great thing. But if you're getting on each other's nerves, all that togetherness can be the final straw that, hey, you know what, like, I just can't take this anymore and I want to move forward with a separation. Holidays, can remind you of what it's like to be around your in-laws if you don't like your in-laws, or there's issues with extended family, and it just kind of reminds someone, I don't want another year of dealing with this. And so that might prompt them to want to speak to a family lawyer in January. Also, a lot of people find this time of year to be very tight financially. People overspend leading up to the holidays and during the holidays. And, one of the big causes of divorce is often fighting about money and financial constraints. And so that, can definitely be an issue.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk a bit more strategy. So here we sit. It's January 3, 2024. And for those people that went through what you just described, Leanne, you know, they had a really rough Christmas period. They bit their tongue. They had to be with people they didn't want to be with. They were squished in the house together with the kids. That was getting on their nerves. They also recognized that they weren't particularly happy, but they had to go through the motions for the children. And so here we sit now at the beginning of 2024. And for some people, they're trying to figure out what's next. Where do I go from here? Like, I know I'm not happy. And I know a change is needed. And so I talked a few minutes ago about the advisory board issue, which obviously needs to include an independent, professionally trained mental health professional, whether that person is a coach or a therapist or a psychotherapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a family doctor that you trust. There should be somebody that is not just a flamethrower or a cheerleader that'll simply goat you on to do what it is that you want. That's what you want to hear. And so strategically speaking, a lot of people don't know this, but the date that they decide to separate and communicate that decision to their spouse is a really important date. That's called the date of separation, capital D, capital S. It's also called in the legislation, the valuation date. It's the date that all assets and debts are determined for the purposes of division. It's the date that typically will kick off the period of support being paid or being owed. And so it's a really important date that should not go without careful consideration. And so we even go so detailed into that date that we've actually taken credit card statements and we have subtracted the amounts that follow the date of separation and include only the amounts until the date of separation to determine how much was owing that needs to be divided between two spouses. And so the reason this is so critical is because of what you just said, Leanne, which is that all that spending that may have occurred over the holidays, if that spending occurred prior to the announcement or the declaration of separation, those expenses are equalized. They're shared equally.
Yeah.
And the expenses after that are then borne typically by each side separately. And so these are really important considerations to make when it comes to when and what I will do in my relationship.
Yeah, which is why ideally it's better for people to consult with a lawyer really before taking any sort of actions and, you know, even bringing up divorce or separation to their spouse. I always say knowledge is power. And so if it's something that you're thinking about, your best course of action is to consult with a lawyer before doing anything, because then you can learn why the valuation date is so important. And, you know, that may affect what you want to do and when you want to do it. And so there's the corollary
of that as well, because for some people, they might say, well, I'm about to do a major change in my business that will result in a windfall. And that windfall, if all goes well by the end of 2024 or early 2025, will mean that my net worth will grow significantly. Well, if that's the case, the person who's going to have an inflated net worth may want to consider the date of separation being prior to that eventuality. Yeah. And to get married in Canada requires two consenting adults. To get separated in Canada only requires one person to openly declare that they are separated, and that is shoving a flag in the ground to determine the valuation date for the division of assets and debts. The flip side of that, of course, is the same subject, but on the debt side, meaning if there is a large debt that's going to come into play, then that debt, well, if it's prior to separation, it's shared with the spouse. If it's after separation and there's no connection with it having been crystallized in advance or foreseen in advance, then that debt may very well be borne by one person alone if it's after the date of separation. And so these are really important decisions. And of course, like you said, Leanne, we're not giving advice to any one individual here, but these are conversations that must occur with a lawyer to understand where the person sits, because they may very well be in a fluid state with respect to marriage and separation. And that fluid state may very well be informed by what they know to be their legal rights.
For sure. And a lot of people don't understand that really date of separation and valuation date, it is a legal concept. It's a legal construct, essentially. And so, you know, people often think, oh, it's when one spouse moved out finally. But you can have a date of separation where you're still living under the same roof. There's other things that you look at. You know, are you still acting as a couple? Are you being intimate? Are you sleeping in the same bedroom? Have you told, you know, other people like your children or friends or other family that you're separating even though you're still in the same house? And so there's a lot of things that come into it. It's not as simple as when somebody actually moves out. And so it is important to get legal advice surrounding that issue because so many important financial considerations can flow from it.
And bringing it back to that very issue, one of the issues that over the years, I've had many trials that are either only about the date of separation or include the date of separation. And it's interesting because some of the evidence that we lead at trial to either prove or disprove a particular date of separation is what occurred over the holidays. Meaning, for someone to come into my office today and go, well, we split up on December 1. Because for whatever reason, they think that's the date they split up. But then it comes out that on December 22, 23, 24, 25, they were going from family to family home. And there were group photos taken with, you know, husband and wife and the children by the Christmas tree, by the fire. Gift cards that say to my wife of 25 years, well, the person that's trying to assert a date of separation of December 1, while the judge is looking at all of these lovely photos of the family together by the Christmas tree and a card that says, to my lovely wife of 25 years, well, I don't know how successful that person's going to be in trying to convince somebody that they had already split up 3 weeks earlier. So the evidence surrounding the date of separation may have a lot to do with what occurred over the last 2 weeks.
Exactly. And on a positive note, I have seen situations where the holidays had a positive effect on a couple where, you know, before that they were talking about separating and, you know, had perhaps each retained lawyers and were starting to go through the process. And then over the holidays, they actually spent time together as a family and decided to reconcile or put the separation on hold. I have had that happen a couple of times. So the holidays can be a positive thing sometimes in keeping a couple together.
Absolutely. So we've heard all of these reasons why people have a reckoning in December that might lead to decisions made in early January that then, of course, lead to our phones and emails dinging. But what I would suggest is for our listeners and our followers, don't rush into any decisions. And as much as we and I certainly for 30 years have seen people very anxious and very eager to get the ball rolling in January, which is why the media reports that January is a busy month for divorce, it should be a busy month for organizing yourself. It's a new year. Your children have to be organized for school. Your businesses have to be organized. Your finances have to be organized. It's no different than your personal relationships. They need to be organized. And one way to organize one's personal life is for them to take inventory and to realize that sometimes it's more work to fix what you already have than to throw it out. And for those people that think that the solution to their problem equals a divorce, I invite them and their advisory board to think about what are the problems and what are the solutions. And it may very well be that if there's a careful analysis of the drivers of sadness, that maybe the solution is a different solution than the one that caused them to call us.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect note to end today's live on. So thank you, Steve. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We'll be back again next week with a new topic. And if you have a topic idea, send us a DM and let us know what it is.
Bye, everybody, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Divorce Explained. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to head on over to Instagram and follow at Steve Benmore and at Leanne Townsend Life for more. And if you're looking for specific divorce services, you can visit benmore.com and leannetownsend.ca. We hope today's episode made you feel informed and inspired as you move along through your divorce journey. Tune in next week for Divorce Explained.